Blog Talk Radio.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto ain't expressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Bad dads, how you feel? On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the struggle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I see was knocking blue. Soldiers showing love.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. How's everybody doing, man? It's so good to be back on Blog Talk. We want to make sure we say hello to everybody in Pittsburgh. What's up, Pittsburgh? What's going on in Florida? What's happening to everybody in Florida and also in Iowa and everybody that is in Buffalo, New York, in the house. We want to say just hello to everybody out there. Hope you're having a great time. I know we are. We're having a wonderful time, and so we want to just really give big ups to you and much love out to you. This is Blog Talk Radio with Mad Dads. We're going to be talking about just the events that went on. We had a great time at the Festival for Fathers. It was a wonderful time. We've got Guy Bowling going to call in and chat with us about that, so we're looking forward to him calling in. And we also want to say that I think it's important that we recognize those wonderful fathers, because those fathers are all we have. Looks like we've got our guests on the line right now. I'm going to check in right now. 1364, how you doing? Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Wait a minute. There you go. 1364, you're live on the air.
How you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, yes. LA from, how you doing today? It's LA calling.
Yeah, LA, how you doing, sir?
Hey, man, I'm doing okay. You?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. We're talking about the Festival of Fathers, so kind of share with us about, did you enjoy yourself out there?
Hey, man, it was off the chain. Just to see all them people out there having fun. Y'all did a good job. I got to tip my hat to Mad Dads. Y'all did an awesome job looking at them kids riding on their bikes and watching the people coming through the line eating the food. When I get on the bus now, they're like, hey, y'all did a good job out there. Y'all, you did a wonderful job. I got to say again, man, I don't know how you did it, but y'all do it every year. So y'all make the North Side look real good.
Well, thanks a lot, man. We appreciate all the wonderful things you did on cooking the food. We cooked quite a bit of food out there. What was it like? What was the experience like cooking all the food and, you know, seeing all the people? The line was long.
I mean, just to see the people hungry like that, only thing was bothering me that the smoke was killing my eyes, but I couldn't stop because of the way the line was, and it reminded me of me. Every time we had a family picnic, we had our uncle on the grill, he did not stop. So I know I couldn't stop because every time I seen a person grab a sandwich, it put a smile on my face.
Well, we sure appreciate you. Thank you, LA, for calling. We appreciate all the hard work you did, man. God bless you, brother, and you know it. I got our next caller here on at 9719. How you doing, and who we talking to? 9719. You're live on the air at Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello, can
you're
you hear
live,
me?
Blog Talk. I can hear you, sir.
All right. This is Guy Bowling with the Father Project.
Hey, Guy, how you doing, man? It's wonderful to have you on. And we're talking a little bit about the Festival for Fathers, and L.A. was talking about the food and how many people we had there eating. Every year we have a line, man. No matter how much food we cook, we got a line every year. This year we had to shut the food down. We went past 4 o'clock. We just couldn't cook more, but we had a little more food left.
Yeah. And let me also put my other hat on as part of working with the committee and the festival and working alongside of VJ, but with the festival committee. But it was a wonderful event. I spoke with some of your staff, and they said, hey, this great thing we got going on today. And so if you can call and support, you know, what we're doing, please do. So I just want to take the opportunity to just again say what a spectacular job that the Festival of Fathers committee did and all the folks that came out, all the partners, all the vendors, all the performers, and the community itself. It was the kids and families, I mean, and just all of the people that supported the event. I mean, it was another spectacular year, VJ.
You know, Guy, can you give me a little bit of history about the Festival for Fathers. It's 23 years that we've been doing this, and a lot of people don't even know the history about how I got started.
You know, it got started, like you said, VJ, about 23 years ago when a whole host of organizations came together and they wanted to do something to celebrate and promote fatherhood. And it was a number of agencies. Originally started with just a couple of folks that wanted to say, you know what, let's recognize fathers for their achievements. Let's bring together some folks who support that mission, but also at the same time want to be able to promote fatherhood and guys being responsible and being there for their kids. And so there was a number of agencies that came together, and we started holding these events for a couple of hours, bringing folks together for some food and some fun and some entertainment. It started with Phyllis Wheatley, as a matter of fact. And so there was a number of fatherhood programs that were involved back then. Head Start was involved back then. We had a number of individuals in terms of the Park Board and just a number of partners. And since then, it just has expanded and increased every year in terms of the partners that have come on board. And some partners have come and gone, as well as some of the sponsors have come and gone, just based on, you know, different funding that they had originally to be able to support us. But there's been a number of folks that's been with us the entire time. But really, we end up getting too big in terms of the turnout for Phyllis Wheatley, and so we moved over to North Commons Park a little over 10 years ago, and we've been holding it there ever since. But again, it's just a number of folks that believe in what it is that we were trying to do for the community. Particularly, we started as a part of Northside agencies that were involved in working with families and kids, and now we have expanded across the Twin Cities. And so, again, like the caller said before me, it was a great event to continue to show. And VJ, you said it throughout the event, something positive that's happened on the North Side, some positive things that are contributing to the community, some positive folks, and some folks that care, folks that are willing to invest their time and energy to show that there's a lot of talent, there's a lot of good folks, and there's a lot of good things happening in North Minneapolis.
Well, Guy, answer this question. Why do you think Channel 4, Channel 5, Channel 11, why didn't they show up? You know, they show up for the homicides. Why didn't they show up for this?
You know, that's a good question, VJ. You know, unfortunately, when there's tragedies that happen in the community and there's things that are newsworthy, so to speak, as it relates to some of this, the disadvantages in terms of the population, as well as some of the disenfranchised folks and some of the things that lead to those newsworthy things in terms of negativity as far as some of the activity that's going on in Minneapolis. But I think we just need to make sure not just they didn't know about it, that we demand that they come and cover events such as that. And we have to make sure that they not only know about it and understand it, but know that this is something that we want to celebrate within our community, and we, you know, don't leave them any room to say no. And I think the more we promote it, the more, you know, we bring attention to it, the more we establish the benefits of it, I think it's going to be our way of being aggressive with them to basically say, this is something that you want to cover. This is a story that's positive. This is a story that ultimately will contribute to the community. But at the same time, it's also good for you to cover it, because then folks watch, you know, and I think that's the other piece of it. But I think we just can continue to put, connecting with them to just for them to understand that this is a newsworthy story on the other side of the things that are going on in North community. And I just think we got to collaborate together and be more strong in our effort to push them to come out and cover it.
You know, I agree with that absolutely. And I think you guys are listening to Blog Talk Radio right here all over the nation. We're listening in, we're tuning in. And folks, if you want to chime in and talk to Guy and myself, then just push that one and we'll be able to get you in here and get you talking. You know, the Festival of Fathers is 23 years. We're looking at Guy 25 years, man, and God willing, we'll be here for that 25th year celebration. And I think, man, 24th year, which will be next year, I'm excited about that, because think about that, man. We are pushing that torch forward to recognize fathers. We, you know, and a lot of times at the Festival of Fathers, the women say, you know, why don't y'all recognize us? Well, one of the things is there's a lot of events and activities that recognize the women in our community, but there's very few things that recognize the struggles that our brothers go through, and a lot of our men have to change their lives. And one of the things I liked about our event is that our men were making sure that our boys were behaving like boys should act and not destroying the neighborhood, not fighting, not doing it. Who better could do that than the fathers of the community to keep the boys in check? And if you notice that event, 23 years, we very rarely had any kind of altercations because the men were there to stand up and be men.
You know, it's funny, BJ, that you say that, and very profound in terms of what you have recognized. But I had a conversation with a young lady last year, and last year was her first time coming, and this year she came back, and she was part of the Northside Fresh Coalition, focusing on community and food and just healthy eating. A young woman by the name of Jaden Von Nolan, who came for the first time last year. She was passing out nutritious meals and healthy meals. And one of the things she said to me last year, when we were talking about it, it was her first time being involved and she her experience. And she said, she's a Northside resident, been there for 35 years. And she was saying how wonderful the event was for all the reasons you just described, DJ. And then I said to her at the very end, thank you for being a part of it. She was a part of the Festival Fathers Committee, Planning Committee, and she said it was one of the best things she's ever been a part of for North Minneapolis. And then I said to her, I said, yeah, it was another great year. And like you just said, DJ, well, no skirmishes, and if they were, we, you know, hurry up and just kind of squash them to continue on having a good time. And one of the things she said, which made me think about what you just said, DJ, was very profound. And what she said when I said that without missing a beat, she said, well, you know why that was. And I said, no, I'm not sure. Maybe, you know, the big guy upstairs always looks down on us and, you know, make sure we have a good time. She says, yeah, that's part of it, she says. But most importantly, what made it that way, she said, exactly what you just said, DJ, was, is because the men were there. And I said, what do you mean? She said, when men are there, and they're leading as men, and they're establishing themselves as leader and providing role modeling and appropriate behavior of men, everybody falls in line. Everybody gets an understanding of what that actually means. And so she says, when you have men there, like VJ and all the folks that are involved and folks that are volunteering and positivity that's going on, people fall in line. So when you just said that, it made me think about the profound statement that she said, that when you have men leading the way, appropriately and establishing themselves as role models, so when folks do get out of line, that they're right there to be there to support that discipline and structure, you're going to have that. And so that was really profound, so I'm glad you touched on it.
You know, what I found out, Guy, is that, and I said this throughout the event, if our men would stand up and just be men, there wouldn't be any need, any reason, or any validation for gangs, drugs and violence in our community, if all our men will step up, regardless of what organization you're with, regardless of what nonprofit you're with, regardless of what company you're with, there'll be no need for gangs in our community.
Absolutely. I'll say amen to you, BJ, on that one. Absolutely.
Now, let's talk a little bit about what you... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Let's talk a little bit about what you do over there and the impact you're having on men.
Okay. Well, one of the things that we are blessed to be able to do is we work with men that are fathers between the ages of 17 and 40. And what we do is we're a program called a Father Project. Been around for a few years, since late 90s. And today we're part of a program of Goodwill Easter Sales. And we provide fathers with resources to help them remove any barriers that get in the way of them being financially or emotionally involved with their kids. And so we have a number of services that we provide on site, be it employment, be it training, be it parenting, be it child support, be it legal, be it early child education, housing, just a number of things to get men stable as men, ultimately support them and educate them and help them develop skills as fathers as well as parents, and also learn how to co-parent if necessary, and then put them in a position to be leaders in terms of giving back to their community. So we work alongside a number of different other fatherhood organizations, such as Urban Ventures, and we work with Mad Dads. And it's a collective and collaborative effort. We're continuing to strengthen those relationships with those folks, but the goal is just to be able to provide these resources to men, because oftentimes they don't have the education nor the information nor the skill set to navigate these complex systems that are not always designed to support them and empower them as men, to grow as men, to be those leaders in the community that you just talked about, and giving back to the community or being a role model in their community to prevent some of the things that happen as a result of fathers being absent. And like you said, I believe that the same things that happens for fathers being absent in terms of the consequences of the community and the children and the family, as part of, he's part of the problem in terms of not being there for whatever reason. There's a number of reasons why. But he's also the solution if he's there. So
So we believe if we put him in a position of stability, he can turn around and begin to address some of those barriers that prevented him, as well as have the skills and information to be that responsible dad. So that's what we try and help them do with a whole host of agencies that we work with collaboratively, because we truly believe in that age-old adage, and it's really true, about it takes a village to raise a child. You know, our village is a little chaotic, and it's been chaotic for quite a while, but ultimately it does take everybody. It's all a collective effort, and that's what we try to do with a number of organizations that we partner with.
You listen to Guy Bowling, my friend, my good buddy, and my partner on the stage with the Father Project. This is VJ Smith. I'm your host for the National Blog Talk Radio, talking to folks all over the country about the work we do and what happens. One of the things I want to talk to you, Guy, about is I've noticed something that has really been affecting our community. It's been affecting our men, and that's mental health. It's a lot different than what it was in the 70s and the 80s. It's different. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought that up, VJ. Mental health is huge as it relates to what has contributed to some of their fathers and men not being able to be stable, as well as fulfill that responsibility, that obligation, because they've been affected by a number of different things that has contributed to their psyche, and a lot of them are suffering from chronic depression. And a part of being depressed leads you to coping with that depression by unhealthy stress management techniques that leads to, unfortunately, negative consequences. So substance abuse, violence, irresponsible. And so and then you also have then the other diagnoses or undiagnosed of the personality disorders that our men are facing. And so if you've got a combination of those things that contributes to this man's overall well-being in terms of his mental health, and we're not even talking about the physical health part of it, but the mental health part of it, you've got a lot of guys who are suffering from chronic depression and lack of professional resources to be able to address it. No different than if you're ill and you're sick and you need to go to the doctor, you know, to get a checkup, or you have something going on with your body, you go in and see a specialist. Well, a number of our guys are dealing with mental health problems, and they don't necessarily go to a specialist. They try to deal with it on their own, and a lot of times that leads to self-medication and other things that only contributes to it being a bigger problem than not. So I agree with you, and we see it on a regular basis and try to help our guys, because oftentimes when you are not healthy mentally, it leads to you not being able to make sophisticated decisions, and so you end up making decisions that are not of benefit to you or your family or your community. But we've been seeing a spike in it in terms of noticing it, folks being diagnosed with it, and also the need for services. But there's so much more that we can do.
Well, you know, so many times people go from your program to my program, from my program to your program. They go back and forth, and you know, and we deal with the issues, and we try to help them. And the bottom line is sometimes these folks have issues that go beyond what we can deal with, and we have to refer them on to somebody, a specialist, you know, North Point, Southside Clinic, and other areas that can really help them. And, you know, it's sad for those families, though, because those families every day have to go home and deal with that father or that parent that has got those mental health issues. And so it's a challenge for us to help a family get through.
But, you know, I was going to say, VJ, what I've learned, and I've been working in the field, you know, we've been doing this for a long time, VJ. And, you know, these things we know about professionally and even know about personally, you know. And some of the things is as you begin to understanding and get a grip on it for yourself, personally as well as professionally, you begin to know what resources and kind of what options are there for you in order to get well. And I think what you were just saying is that, yeah, we have to refer those folks out. But what I've learned in doing this work for a long time, in order to refer them to the professional to get the help, you have to have the folks on the front line like yourself and myself and John Turnipseed and Jack Strotters and Stans and, you know, those programs and other agencies that are working directly with men. You have to have those folks initially as a professional to engage these guys in just relationship building, because once you establish a relationship with those guys that are dealing with the mental health issues, it's much easier to make the referral on to the professionals that specializes in treating the mental health, because there's a stigma around that for guys that not necessarily may not seek it right away. So it has to be the professionals who know how to engage them on the street or at their level or identifying where they're at to even begin to have them thinking about being treated and not looking at it as a stigma that it's something that you're not supposed to do. So I've learned that it takes the folks like what you're doing and what I'm doing and our folks and our team to connect with these guys initially and to slowly introduce them to kind of, you think about getting well mentally, here's a resource, here's a professional, and let them do their job because that's a level of expertise that they have.
Well, you know, we've talked a lot about your agency, what you do. We talked a lot about men. I want to talk right now about Guy Boling, the father, Guy Boling, the community individual. I want to talk about, where did you come from? How did you get where you are today? Let's hear a little bit about your story. We've got about 5 minutes left.
You're gonna make. Let me grab a. See if I got a Kleenex box around here. I'll give you the condensed version. Just as a young man, I grew up in a single-headed household by my mother and my 3 siblings. You know, originally. Moved here from a very, very impoverished, depressed area of Chicago, and mother wanted to make a better life for her children. And she began to see her boys start to get distracted into the streets and just negative behaviors that could ultimately lead to negative consequences. And she decided that I don't have the finances to be able to move to different sections of the city that may be safer, so I'm just going to remove my children from this environment to what I hear is a good place called Minnesota. So we came up here and moved here, and she was right. You know, the quality of the education was much better than what we were used to. Resources were better. Economic situation was much better, and led to us having at least more options to be successful. And so as a result of that, I, of course, brought some of the things with me that I experienced from where I had lived in that environment. So unfortunately, I became a teen dad at the age of 16, and then I became a teen single dad at the age of 16 and moved out and took care of my son up until he went to college at 18, and he's successful today, college graduate, he has a family, he has a fiance, doing very well, but I got into social services as a result of him and working with him, doing a number of different things, and it led to me volunteering at a number of different agencies, certain agencies that I had got involved in as a kid that I remember, and so I realized that I liked that work, and it led me to then going down the path of working with fathers, which I was already one. I had a little bit of experience, but I didn't have the professional experience, and so I went on and got educated in that area and then started getting experience, and it led me to work for a number of different agencies working with fathers and ultimately create an opportunity for me to start a project called the Father Project, along with a whole host of other folks, and have been doing that ever since, VJ, and now working in the community, continuing to educate, enlighten, and hopefully provide quality service to folks who need the help as well as need the stability to be there for their children, because I think part of me personally experienced it as a child without a father as well as a young father, and then a custodial father, and then now a professional working with fathers. So that's kind of the condensed version of it. And so now I have an opportunity to work with folks in the community and work with folks like yourself and work with folks, you know, who think this is an important issue. And the goal is to make sure we got a fatherhood program, regardless of the agency, but a fatherhood program in every community that believes fathers are important. So that's the condensed version of the story.
Well, just hold on 1 second. We're going to be right back with you, Guy Boling, before you go. We're going to let L.A. close out with a few words, then we're going to go back to Guy Boling and let him close out with a few things. L.A., you've been listening. What did you think about the show today?
Hey, I want to say, y'all said something. You always say something that catches my eye, BJ. You say, man, stand up, boy, sit down. And I believe that. I watch your ground. I watch how you walk, and you prove that to me. So that show was awesome. Y'all got to do it again.
That's good. Thank you very much. We're going to go back to Guy Boling. And Guy, closing thoughts, closing things you'd like to add today. First of all, let me just thank you for being on the show. We appreciate it. We're going to have you back on again and talk some more and get a get a little deeper into your background and, you know, and just chat with you and let people learn a little bit more about you, sir. But thank you. Any closing thoughts?
Yeah, keep doing what you're doing, VJ. This is spectacular. I appreciate being a guest on the show. I was planning to call in and say a few words, but I appreciate the dialogue we've been having, and I just wish you continued success and being just a man of the people, VJ. You know, I have nothing but admiration and respect for you, and I love you as my brother, and I'm just glad I have an opportunity to work alongside you in the struggle. So I appreciate the opportunity.
That's Guy Boland. You've been listening to Blog Talk Radio with me.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, because you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto and expressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Man, that's how you feel. On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the jungle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I see was black and blue. Soldiers showing love.
Did it again.